You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some noise!
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Yo! Hello! Welcome to the show. Another second episode of We Cooligans. Thank you to the Gully Squad. Shout out to all the Gully Squad members for making this happen.
Gully Squad gang, gang.
That's right. They are a gang. And getting into the gang is it's a bit rough. Sorry about that, guys.
The initiation is very difficult. You have to listen to Christian complain about having to eat food, and you have to listen to me complain about having to eat mediocre food.
Ooh, so, and that is a brutal experience for in either scenario. So
that is just, it's too much.
most people,
and also
most
people don't both of our significant others.
Most people don't even make it to actually becoming a Gully Squad member because they can't, power through that.
Well, I mean, it's only for the gulliest, so you can't. You got to be able to, like, most, like, our significant others are going to be in the room rolling their eyes the entire time.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, Chinese water death torture sounds better than that. This is sounds brutal. All right. So, yes, welcome to the show, everybody. If you haven't listened to the Cooligans before, my name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. My name is Alexis Guerrero.
And together we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host a soccer podcast. And it is not only the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to. It is also what, Alexis?
It's the damn gulliest soccer podcast. And that's why we came up with Gully Squad. Come on now.
That's right. So if you'd like to join and want to, one, either support the show, or two, be a part of our lives. Be a part of that. A super exclusive, super secret Gully Squad Facebook group. Because a lot of it gets saucy in there. So a lot's going on.
We had a fan recently join Gully Squad and sent us a message like, now put me in that damn group. It's all about getting in this group right now.
Dude, there's something about exclusivity where they're like, yo, what's going on in there? What's going on? I see a bump. I see the lights. I hear the bass, but I can't see what's going on in there. And people are like, all right, yo.
Hold on. Are there ladies in there? Or are there just fellas in there? I want to go in
and
there
you
regardless.
Know what? There are ladies in there. Okay. So it's popping it. Okay. It's not meant to just go out and, like, you know, you're not trying to pick up chicks out in the Gully Squad group, but if love happens, love happens.
Although, if you can, let us know. I mean, if you pick up a fella or a lady, mm-hmm. share that info with us, yo.
Exactly. All right. That's just
we need to come up with our own Tinder. Like, we got to come up with, like,
the Gully
Galinder? I don't know.
It's like a new, just a, you know, like a dating app, but for Gully Squad members. That might be kind of fun.
Ooh,
it's like a
Gully Swipe.
Gully Swipe.
What?
That's it. It sells itself. Look at this.
Only the women can swipe and be like, nah, man, he looked like a bitch ass. Nah. Yo, he gully or she gully.
Okay,
enough
yeah,
for
he got
me.
He got techers. All right. All right. Bring that techers in the bedroom. All right. I feel it. All right.
Right. Maybe he can keep me up. You know what I mean?
Oh my goodness. Well, okay, cool. Look, we think we're trying to just record like a funny soccer podcast, and then becomes a marketing meeting, and then all of a sudden we have all these
great- next thing you know we're trading stocks right live on the podcast.
Okay, now live coming from CNBC, Gully Swipe, a new app for soccer fans. So
it's Gully Squawk Box.
Okay, so on a we're gonna get to a bunch of the soccer stuff in a second, but on a serious note, because the beginning of the Cooligans podcast occasionally, there's usually something sad happens, some sort of tragedy, and then and it affects us personally or affects the soccer world, and we have to talk about it. But this is a little different, but it does just as tragic and affects us personally. There is, you know, if you...
Yeah, this story is making waves in the comedy community.
Yes.
And it's you know, someone that you as a listener may have never heard of, but he's a very amazing comedian, very popular comedian.
Yes.
Amongst those of us. He was living here in New York for a long time, so he's been on both shows with Christian and I. He's moved to Los Angeles recently. He got a little viral from the sort of parody of those signs that people post on like electrical poles and stuff, looking for lost, you know, puppies and stuff like that.
That's right.
It's called, his name is Jason Saenz. Last name is S-A-E-N-Z, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Jason Saenz. And so they're Saenz. Very popular on Instagram. A bunch of them went viral, which is very cool for him. And he's a writer and a comic
great,
and stuff.
Great human being. Just a great, great dude. And what happened to him is recently he moved out to LA a couple years ago. Super funny comedian. Very, very talented. And he was apparently on a roof. Maybe he was at a party. I don't know exactly what happened. But he was on a roof and he fell through a skylight. And he fell to the ground, fell on his back, and he is now injured, and he is paralyzed from the waist down. And I mean, especially for us, he's a friend, and in the comedy community, and we all try to stick together and support each other. And so hearing this news is just insane. Yeah, it's still difficult for me to even just grasp that this is like a real thing. And he's currently in the ICU. And
he's had multiple surgeries and he's going to need more surgeries. And here's the thing about, you know, look, you take a lot of risks when you mostly financially, when you want to become a comedian. A lot of them also are family and stuff. Like, it's just a very difficult sort of road to go down. And we understand that when we do it and when we decide to stay in it for the long period that we all have been, all for the chance to continue to get better and to be able to, you know, make people laugh. One of the big risks that you take is the fact that you know you're not going to have health insurance for a long time and you just hope that something like this doesn't happen. Well, unfortunately, he had no health insurance. So you can imagine the bills. I mean, he's had multiple surgeries to stop clotting and to stop all these other things and to hopefully save his ability to use his spine, you know, from the waist down. He's had multiple surgeries up to this point, and the guy just doesn't have, you know, we're comedians. We don't have money.
Yeah. That's
so one of his good friends who also a great comic, Nick Turner, started a GoFundMe for him. And he was the one that sort of released this information into the comedy community. So a lot of comedians, Patton Oswalt said if every one of his followers gave a dollar, he would have more than enough. Like, a lot of people are tweeting this out and sending this out. And what we've decided is, look, I know we promised you guys that we would use Gully Squad money for Cooligans based content and stuff, and for the most part we have been. It's what's gotten us to some MLS Cup and to some other stuff, and we're going to give you guys so much great content. Dallas, remember that, with all the interviews, we got one coming up right after this segment. But we're going to use some of that money, if I hope you guys don't mind, we're going to donate it to Jason Saenz GoFundMe. We feel that this is really important, and we would hope that if this happened to us, that the comedy community and the soccer community would rally around us just the same as they've done for Jason Saenz. And I hope you guys can forgive us for that. I know we promised you it would all go towards content, but this is a very important situation. So we're going to take a small amount of that money and we're going to donate it to him. And we know he absolutely needs it.
Yeah. So we're trying to rally around him and help him out. He has a long road to recovery. There is a real feeling and real belief that he will be able to walk again, but it's just going to take a lot of time and a lot of work and unfortunately a lot of money. So we're going to be you know, donating some of the Gully Squad money for that. But if you also want to help him out, you don't have to join Gully Squad. I'm just saying, just if you want to just support Jason Saenz directly, you can go to his GoFundMe page. The easiest way to find it is go on Google and just type Jason Saenz Recovery, and Saenz is spelled S-A-E-N-Z. And it should pop right up as the first result. And there, even in the GoFundMe, this is how you know he's still in some good spirits, you know, because you know how his Instagram is Saenz, S-I-G-N-S, so Saenz. But the recovery fund, the GoFundMe, is called Saenz Spines. So still having a little,
I mean,
still having a little bit of fun.
We can't take anything seriously as a people. You know, I remember when I was in school, my teachers would always say like, Alexis, these are some things you just can't joke about. And I knew I was different. I mean, when little things like this happen, you know, we're separate from the rest of society. We really are.
Yeah. Well, we're built a little differently. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad.
Did you ever, I know this is a slightly off topic, but did you get superlatives in eighth grade when you graduated eighth grade? Did you get a yearbook? I don't know what school you went to. What did they do? They just give you a plátano?
Sure. I mean, it's quite an honor. Not every kid gets one.
You graduated with honors.
No, I had a, for junior high school, you're talking about, not high school.
I don't know what junior high is. To me, that's something that only happened in sitcoms. I went to a school through eighth grade, and then I went to another school for high school.
Okay, no, sixth through eighth grade is junior high school usually. That's how most public schools are. It's a separate school from the you know, kindergarten K through which is fifth grade. Yeah,
we call that grammar school, but most people call it elementary school. All right, yeah. We're not here to argue about that. Well, I went to a hood ass gully ass school, so you went to eighth grade,
yeah,
and then you moved on. But did you get superlatives?
I did not get to my yearbook. Did not have superlatives.
Mine didn't either. And here's what they had: they one girl went around and she wrote "what ifs," and it was the opposite of what you really are. So there was this kid named Joe who was 6'4", and they're like, "What if Joe was short?" You know, right? So you kind of get it. Mine was, this is very disrespectful: "What if Alexis took anything seriously?"
All right. Okay.
I mean, come on. I mean, dude, I'm in eighth grade.
Could they have nailed anyone's future any harder than that?
I mean, it was dead on, but it was too honest.
Was she looking at a crystal ball? How the hell does she know?
She was talking to my mother. You know, she knew D, and she was trying to tell her to run. Run,
yeah,
D.
Yeah, look at that. So look.
You know he won't.
So look, we're going to be helping out Jason Sines. If you want to, you know, do that, go to the GoFundMe. If you want to be a part of Gully Squad and you know, help that way, that's another option as well. So we're hoping he gets back, you know, back literally on his feet. And so we'll see what happens. We'll keep you up to date on his recovery. All right. So let's get into some of the soccer news, Alexis, because a lot happened, and there was a let's start with this, because this was the thing. You know, what's grinding Alexis's gears? It's definitely this, and you know what, it's grinding my gears too, Alexis. So
oh, look at that. It's not just a Guerrero rant. This is also a Pallon complaint.
Pallon complaint, that's right. So I mean, and this is going to be a sternly worded one.
Yeah. Ooh, you know, he's using his good pen.
I might even ask to speak to a manager. That's how bad Uh-oh. This one is.
Oh God, I can hear the finger waving.
So we were talking about obviously our trip to Atlanta and Atlanta United winning the MLS Cup, and more importantly, the MLS Cup and its travels across downtown Atlanta and going you know, bringing the MLS Cup to Magic City, and we
Tam's the maker dance.
That's right,
Tam's the maker dance.
So we learned more details about this story. We found out who were the actual culprits / heroes that brought the cup out there, and so we know it was Chris McCann.
Well, we're gonna snitch.
Oh, I mean, it was on TMZ. TMZ snitched before we did. I'm just saying.
Okay,
I'm praising
right,
these
it's
people.
Public info.
These are, we're not snitching. This is public info.
This is praise be the new gods.
That's
okay.
Right. Okay, the Irishman of all Irish. Chris McCann and Jeff Lorenowitz, you know, and then it was
this is why This is why his last name wasn't Chris McCant, because he said he thought to himself, should I? And the answer was immediately, yes, we shall.
I just love the idea of just a pale Irishman at Magic City. Just like, just I love that energy. You know, it's a little different than what they're used to. So
yeah, just drinking whiskey straight, throwing euros.
That's dope. It was also Jeff Lorenowitz was there. They took a photo. They were happy to be there. They weren't ashamed of this at all. Ali Shannon, who I think is a more of a reserve guy on the team.
Not that reserved.
Yeah,
he was out there getting it. He ride around, he getting it.
So the so that's, and there were some, a couple other people in the photo, but I don't know who they were. But this is what we want to talk about. This is what upset us, was a Deadspin article. And the reason we're talking about it, because we are used to people just trashing MLS, trashing American soccer, mocking it, the whole thing. That we're not here to give those people a platform, because what's the point? We already, as stand-up comedians, when we talk to other stand-up comedians, we usually get mocked for liking American soccer as well. And we need to surround ourselves around positivity and love and support. But the reason we're talking about this in particular was because we talked, I think, the week prior, or I don't know if we talked about it at all. We went to the Deadspin Awards last week. That was last week Wednesday.
Well, it's on our social media. You could, if you follow us on Instagram and on Twitter, you knew we were at the Deadspin Awards, which was a real honor for us to be invited, primarily because it was open bar. You know,
it's always,
like, we just don't get invited.
It's always
invited
a sign of respect when you invite somebody to open bar. Okay,
yeah, they will be remembered forever.
Okay,
but here's. So we were looking around for anyone who writes about soccer, just anybody.
Not easy to find.
Two people. One dude, super cool. I can't remember his name right now.
Gabe. I want to say Gabe Fernandez.
Gabe. That's right. Gabe.
Yeah.
Gabe. Awesome dude. Okay.
Amazing person. We
hung out with him. Peruvian. His dad was super excited about Peru making the World Cup. He's telling us all these stories. Great dude. Doesn't really follow MLS too closely, but he respects it and he likes it, and he knows there's a lot of Peruvians in the league, so on and so forth. We talked to him for a hot minute, and he was like, the kind of the older soccer writer, though, the guy who's been doing it for a while, and he points at this dude who I can only explain to you is dressed like, a game show host in Dubai,
That's the best description I've ever heard so far. Yeah, that's pretty much what he looked like. So the reason we're talking about this, so we met this guy and we didn't really know he didn't say his name. I'm almost sure he didn't. We just wanted to introduce ourselves because, again, there weren't many people in the room almost 1,000 people that really were into soccer or supported it or talked about it. That's not the main focus out at Deadspin. So the reason we're talking.
Yeah, and Deadspin, by the way, the room was very like barstool-y. You know what I mean?
Sure. I wouldn't describe it like that, because I don't even know what you mean when you say that.
You know what I mean? It was like very bro-y, very college sportsy, very NFL fanish. You know what I mean? Like
Not soccer fans. We know that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was like people that were like, wooing a lot. You know what I mean? There was no soccer fans there, like talking about soccer.
Yeah.
There was a couple jokes about the men's national team not making the World Cup, and no one was paying attention. I don't think anyone really got the jokes. You know what I mean? So like, we realized, all right, we're in a room that doesn't have that many soccer fans to begin with. You know, even though this is a very popular sports website, there's just no soccer fans in the room except these two people. So one of them was cool, and then we're told about the other one who looks like he's wearing his blazer inside out. Okay.
So we bring that up to mention this. So then after the MLS Cup was all the videos came out of the MLS Cup in Magic City and at the strip club, an article appeared on Deadspin.com about this.
How wonderful, right? They're talking about MLS Cup.
They're talking about MLS Cup. Like, yo, this is wild. How fun. We were talking about it. How funny is this? This is dope. Part is for the culture. This is part of Atlanta's identity. We understand. And then the article was not deriding the fact that the MLS Cup was in Atlanta from some kind of moral standpoint. It was mocking the fact that these players, these Atlanta United players, are attempting to be big shots by taking, like, American soccer is not even respected. That no one, they saw the MLS Cup in the strip club and nobody knew what it was and nobody knew what was going on. Nobody, these players were basically were a bunch of phonies to try to act like Atlanta rappers and Atlanta big shots you know, that it meant nothing to.
Well, I mean, I think it's the title, the headline of the article was like, you know, little known trophy. Like,
yeah,
like, yo, why? And here's the thing. If it was funny, I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But it was just wild disrespectful. Like, there was nothing. If that's this person's attempt at humor, you're way off.
Yeah, very much. So this is the main problem where I would almost be more respectful if it was just like trashing the MLS Cup. It's like the game itself, trashing, you know, whatever. If you were like a pro rel person, they're like, and you don't respect the league and totally whatever, you can have that point of view, you can have that opinion, but to
it's fine
to do this, to mock the players celebrating in like a very Atlanta way, which is like very genuine, you know, and part of, and Atlanta United is creating their own identity. This is like a legendary thing that will live on for what I bet you in like a year or two in when some Premier League, whatever Premier League team wins the trophy, watch, you're gonna end up seeing it at a strip club somewhere, and then people are gonna be like, oh, well, yeah, like, how unbelievable, huh, this is so cool, like, and you know, people are gonna get on board because we know the British do what specifically the South does first, right? The American South affects the culture out, you know, across the world. So that's why this in particular, you're like, why are you taking this perspective? What point of view? What are you standing on? Like, you're just making fun of them for playing in this league. These like dudes that don't make a ton of money, and are trying to celebrate and trying to create this legendary moment for American soccer and for soccer in Atlanta. So whatever. Article's trash. We know that. And
but here's the thing. It's like that also, like, this dude, Billy, right? He's the dude who wrote
Billy
it.
Billy Hazley.
Like,
yo, yes.
Billy Hazley. Like, yo, this ain't for you. Like, you don't understand it. You don't get it. And look at the way the fans in Atlanta reacted to MLS Cup getting to Magic City. They reacted like, yo, like, you get it. That's like, imagine NYCFC won and there was, you know, they brought the cup to Scars. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. All right, you get the culture. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, you understand. Like, imagine there was Tim's sticking out of the cup. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, that better happen. I don't know.
Yeah, of course. Yo, you better put a do-rag over the top of it, put Tim's on the bottom. But like, yo, but for real, like, you know, taking a picture of the MLS Cup on the L train or the F, you know, like, there's certain things that you would do and you'd be like, oh my God, like, this isn't just professional players in our city. They understand our city, you know, like, exactly. You know, you take it over to City Island or something and go get some Henny Coladas. Like, all right, now we're talking, like, you really understand your culture. You know what I mean? And if you all don't right. know what a Henny Colada, it's imagine a piña colada with Hennessy in it, baby. Oh, everybody's gonna fight, right?
Yeah, I had that in my baby bottle when I was growing up.
Hell yeah. So which we're going, like, think of all the things that make your city, like, very culturally your city, and to have MLS was always the other sport. It was always this, like, oh, soccer's being played in this area. It's not like something that in Europe the teams are so, you know, sort of associated with the city itself, you know, and it's something that we haven't really had here. It's so many turning points happen at this MLS Cup. And I don't want to sound like we're bitching, like, oh, why'd you write something negative about, it's not that. It's that condescending tone that you would have assumed was gone. You know,
yeah.
Dude, 73,019 people. You imagine, like, yo, give them a little respect. No, we're back to the, oh, nobody cares. And why would you even go to a strip club? Nobody likes you here. It's like, dog, That's so corny. It's so old school. I can't. You made yourself look corny. You made yourself look like you don't belong by talking that way. And if you look at the comments on the thing, which I hope you don't do, because I don't want that dude to get any more clicks. That dude could go fuck himself. Like if you look at the comments, everyone is like, yo, I don't know, like MLS, but what's the deal with the tone of this? Like, you know, people, even Euro snobs are like, all right, this seems like too much. You know what I mean?
It's bad. I'm more offended more as like this is a clear sign of growth in the culture and American soccer, and there's no real point to it. Does this get more clicks than showing support for it? And maybe it does. I don't know. I think it's one of those I remember, I think Jon Stewart mentioned this once, like about like Fox News, when he was always like fighting back and forth with them. And he would say like that if Sean Hannity was being paid enough to have a liberal point of view, he would do that. This is sort of what it seems like. It's like, oh, everyone's giving it love. Let me give it some negativity and I'll have the counterpoint, and then everyone will click or hate click on that.
By the way, there's a way to do that where it's funny. And even if it's disrespectful to the league there, it's sort of like, there's some things you could say that are justified when you're talking negatively about the league. There's some things you can say that are funny that still hit a point where you could see you've put some effort into it. There was zero effort into this article. To call it an article is almost a lie. You know, it's almost a misnomer. Like, there's nothing in it. It's just like, imagine you just thought soccer was the least, you know, relevant thing in the world, and then just write your thoughts down. That's what this is.
But look,
it didn't matter that they went to a strip club. It had nothing to do with going to a strip club. It was just like, why'd they bring this stupid trophy that nobody knows about into a strip club? Yo, it's like, it was just so corny. And I, you know, you assume that's gone.
Yes. And whatever, even if it's not, it's fine. I don't want to break down this article. But the reason we're bringing it up to begin with is because we did meet him, and
he's just as much trash in person.
He couldn't have been any more condescending. I mean, in person. When we mentioned this on Twitter, there were a bunch of people that were like, oh, I didn't even know he was real. I didn't know the legend of this, Billy, right? I didn't know the history. And apparently this is what he does. He just kind of, poo-poos MLS, and that's fine, whatever. Like, yo, make a living, do what you got to do. But you know, you were allowed to be made fun of. But that was the weird thing that I think we might be the only people who have met this guy. Some people thought that it was just a pen name and it wasn't that he wasn't a real person. But
we're the only ones, you know, unfortunate enough to have met him.
So to describe the experience, we went up to him, we said, hey, hello, how you doing? My name is Christian. This is Alexis. We're both stand-up comedians and we do a soccer podcast. And he went, I can't, it's difficult to describe without people seeing me, but he basically did one. I think he like looked us up and down and went, huh, okay. And then literally walked away. Did not.
That's like dead ass what happened.
Did not.
He gave us that look with his eyes of like, why are you bothering me? But I'm going to be nice. And we're like, hey, what's going on, man? We heard you write about soccer. My name is Alexis. This is Christian. We're both stand-up comics and we do a soccer podcast. And then he just kind of was like, and walked away.
Dude, exactly what happened. It was... This was before this article was written. And then we saw the article and then we're like, this is bad. Who the hell would write? We were just at the awards. It wasn't Gabe. Gabe was great. He's a fan of soccer. He was a fan of what we were doing. Great dude. And then I zoom in on the photo, on the little avatar on Deathspin. I'm like, yo, it's the dude with the yellow blazer and the flowers all over his suit jacket. And then it all made sense. I'm like, oh, of course this dude would be this way. And this dude would write this. So that's the only reason we're bringing it up, because it was,
It was trash.
Yeah. So we're done with this, man. This is done with this dude. We learned our lesson, and not to. And this isn't to scold all of Desmond. Everyone was. We were glad to be at the party. Everyone was very nice to us, except for one particular person. But you know, I after reading all the comments and stuff, you just like, this is a thing. This is his thing, and you know, some people probably will never change. But we can we can make jokes and have fun with it. So, all right, let's talk about...
Well, in other words, so only click on Gabe's articles, never click on Billy's.
Yeah, so there's no way to find out before you click, but, you know, hopefully that's the case. So, all right, let's talk about a couple other things that happened in the soccer world this week. In particular, we had some big transfer news, all right? Gunny's getting hot. Because there's a lot of
Gunny getting all the info.
So you know, click. We're hearing it through these streets. Whenever there's any transfer rumors or big moves, Zach Steffen of the Columbus Crew will be signing with Manchester City. So that was always
did sign.
Yes, that is it's official. So he will be a Manchester City player. You know. As usual, whenever this happens, it's met with some skepticism because we all know it feels like every signing from MLS to Manchester City is an accounting move. You know, they're just moving over some numbers somewhere, and people are skeptical because they don't think the players that they sign from America will actually play. You know, Mix Discarude. I don't know when he's going to get his opportunity. Jack Harrison, who is on loan. To Leeds, and he's been playing well and getting real minutes. Playing for who is he playing for? Bielsa, right? Your boy,
Bielsa, baby.
So Zach Steffen is the next person that we'll see if he will actually get minutes. I know Manchester City does need a backup goalkeeper. I think Claudio Bravo is injured, and I think he's done with the team. And can Zach Steffen fill in? And now we're starting to see. And we remember when we spoke to Reggie Cannon about playing games for your national team, and now you know more people are watching, and you get different opportunities. And Zach Steffen had a couple of great games this year for the U.S. men's national team. And it's no coincidence that he's signed with Manchester City. Will he actually play for that team? Who knows? We hope.
I don't think he will, because here's the thing. Like, why would you? And I know we're far enough away from the next World Cup. He's still considered America's number one at the moment. Right. But you would imagine that he'd want. You got to get games. You got to get minutes, right? And a goalkeeper, especially coming in where Ederson is doing really well and they're top of the league, maybe he gets some run in some of the other domestic competitions. Maybe he gets some run in some other stuff. But what you're hoping is that he gets loaned. Now, the rumor is that he might get loaned back to MLS, which is shit. I mean, if that's the case, then all he did was build his bank. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Which I'm fine with. I'm fine with. And here's the thing. I want everyone to know, even if it is a cooking the books, you know, move, who cares? Go get paid. You're not the one doing anything illegal. You're a soccer player and they're paying you a lot of money. Done. Right. You're good. But you also don't want to be one of these dudes that like no one's even heard from Mix Discarude. No one knows what he's doing.
Also, let's be careful with using the word illegal. I mean, they're like, it's more of a financial fair play thing, not like breaking like international tax laws or something like that. Or
yeah, I mean, no, you know what I mean? I mean, it's illegal in the eyes of FIFA, sure, like compared to their laws. Yeah. And what could possibly be illegal in the eyes of FIFA at this point? Jesus Christ, everything they've done. But here's my point is like, you've got nothing to do with it. You didn't do anything wrong. You're not the one cooking the books. You don't know where your money is being applied.
Yeah.
All you know is you're getting it. And the check, you know, doesn't bounce.
Yeah.
You're good. Right.
Sure.
And if he gets loaned back to Columbus for another year or two, or, maybe he gets loaned to Vitesse.
The last I heard was that he might be loaned back to Columbus and play throughout, the first half of the season. And then next season, he'll go to Manchester or be loaned to, you know, whoever. So,
if you're Columbus, do you want, you wouldn't want to keep her for half a season.
if it's Zach Steffen, yeah, you'll take him for, you'll take him for, you know, 15 minutes if you can have him on the field.
Not really, because whoever's going to take over for him, you want that person to be warmed up at the second half of the season.
Maybe, maybe. You know, it's still not a bad situation to have a very good keeper on your team for half the season. I mean, there's worse scenarios for Columbus.
We saw that. Yes. We almost saw it.
Well, and speaking of Columbus, I mean, what a complete bounce back from the dread that we were all feeling, pretty much the entire year. Columbus, we didn't know if they were going to end up keeping their team. And now not only are they keeping their team, but it was announced that a deal has at least come to terms where they will be getting a new stadium. So Columbus will not only be getting a new stadium, and they will also be getting a new training ground. Plus, Mopfrey Stadium will become like a community like sports complex with a bunch of different soccer fields and a bunch of different sports, and really be something that could be used for the community to help. Just help the community and help grow the sport. So this is just what a turnaround. I mean, not only did they save the crew, but they got them a damn new stadium. And it's difficult to not feel envious, especially when, you know, I think Columbus was being mocked a lot because of, oh, you're going to lose your team. And that was like a great joke. We were making jokes when we were over there during the World Cup comedy tour. But not only that, it's difficult to not be envious because, oh boy, they're getting a stadium. And, we're out here in New York City.
They're getting a beautiful downtown stadium, brand new.
Second one.
They got two stadiums.
Yeah, two stadiums. All right, we can't even get one.
We don't got any. Let us get one.
They're getting their second soccer-specific stadium. And
the city of New York, five boroughs, doesn't have a soccer stadium. Columbus, Ohio, two. I mean,
yeah.
What does that tell you? But to your point, man, what a 180, huh?
Yeah.
Like, when we were down there this summer, it was like a mood where, like, it was like a funeral where we heard scratching from the casket. We're like, wait a minute, this might not be dead, but for the most part, we're about to bring this bad boy down into the ground.
Yeah,
and
dude.
Look at where we are now. You know, the guy's out. He's got abs now. You know, like, it's a very different.
Sure.
He's divorced. You know, it's a very different energy now with this Columbus. And the reports are, so this has been, as Paul Tenorio put it, very fluid, right? But as Gunny put it, click, that's what he put it. Caleb Porter. Yo,
why isn't Gunny writing for The Athletic?
Oh my God.
A real shame.
What a perfect, I mean, you talk about behind the paywall. It's behind a bulletproof paywall. So, right, so Caleb Porter, who rose to there's a word
prominence.
I'm thinking of. Prominence. He rose to prominence because of his great job he did at Akron, at the school, the Akron Zips.
Yeah.
Come on, you Akron. So very popular school, created a lot of professionals, and everyone said Caleb Porter had this like professional system. So it was like you were training at a professional team or a professional soccer club, gets a chance over at Portland, wins MLS Cup, moves on, and the team tends to do a little better after he leaves. So it is what it is, whatever. And he's been without a job, right? He left sort of abruptly, and now he's been without a job. So a lot of people look at him as like, you know, he likes to play attacking football, very fluid, kind of a tough guy, you know, pissed off Pep Guardiola, which I'm always happy about, right? He's just gully. He's kind of a gully ass manager. Supposedly going back to Ohio where he was famous, but then the rumor was he almost signed a deal with LA Galaxy. And just before recording this episode, we hear that he is close to signing now with Columbus.
Correct.
So Columbus is going to get a hometown hero, essentially, and a brand new stadium. And this was a team that was almost moved.
Yeah.
4 months ago.
I think I think we need to start a campaign to move NYCFC to Hartford, Connecticut, and then everyone will get just will galvanize everybody, and it will create this story where the rest of the country will support NYCFC and try to get them. They said, we can't do this. We can't move them out of Yankee Stadium. It's such an important and iconic stadium for soccer. And then eventually they'll be like, okay, well, they can't play there. And then look, and this could, the same exact thing is going to happen. We just got to create the narrative where NYCFC is the victim, and then people will end up supporting the team, and NYCFC will have its own stadium.
Well, I'm all about conspiracy theories. So here's my thing. Are you saying that pre-court saved the crew by trying to kill it?
Wow. I mean, how kind of him. I mean, really, we're just very forward thinking. He chose to be the villain so that it could inspire others. That's really what happened.
It's literally the dialogue from Armageddon, right? Like he took himself out selflessly. I mean, what a hero he is.
Exactly.
Fine. So the city of Columbus could get their new stadium. I mean,
what a beautiful, beautiful man.
What a power move.
I'm sure when the history books are written, they will be written in that exact way. About Anthony Precourt. Right.
The Book of Garber.
Oh man. So it is interesting because we had Landon Cottom on the show. He is a supporter of Austin FC. He's one of the people that are helping start the Austin Anthem and that supporters group, helping build it and grow into something so that when the team finally arrives, it is there's already a supporters group in place and some organization.
You may recognize him online as being not the guy yelling at Columbus fans or arguing with them.
Exactly. So, and I think it's interesting because we were getting a lot of responses for having an Austin FC, a supporter, just having somebody talk about it. And I think I personally learned a lot. I didn't know how much, heckling there was, I guess, from Austin FC or just, MLS in Austin people. With any scenario, just like with any fans of any team, there's going to be some dummies that are a little louder than others. But I think it was good to show that there's the majority of people who want a soccer team, an MLS team in Austin, are probably just normal people, just chill, and would love to, have a team play in their city. And I think that's fair. But a lot of people, especially a lot of people that were involved in Save the Crew, definitely were dealing with a lot of the dummies and a lot of idiots that were just saying dumb things or derogatory things about Columbus losing their team. But it was a good thing to kind of experience and see, because we're not in Columbus, we're not kind of seeing that stuff, what people were dealing with day to day. But I think for the most part, it put to me, has Austin Anthem is in a good light as far as really just trying their best and happy that this is the best scenario. Like, they get their own team, they got to wait a little bit, but Columbus gets to keep theirs.
I think, look, at the end of the day, and one of the reasons why people, a couple of people messaged us like, yo, why would you do this? Why would you give them the opportunity? And we can't look at, every new fan base is the worst and they're derided and they're plastic because they just got here. And there's teams that haven't won in 20 years and they're, everybody loves them. Nobody talks about us. This is going to happen. So we really don't care. We're a podcast for the whole league. So yeah, there's going to be some fan bases that people like less. We have a very big Atlanta fan base and we love those folks down there and we love being down there. And a lot of people hate us for that. And they're like, all they do is talk so positively about Atlanta. Yeah, they were winning. You know what I mean? So yeah, we're going to talk about you when you're winning, right? Just like any other national podcast would do. The people, and Landon in particular, reached out to us, and they're just people, man. They're just human beings. Like, some of them, yeah, there's going to be some dicks. You know what I mean? There's a couple dicks in every pile. Sure. You know what I mean? We've all heard that phrase.
Okay. Yeah. If it's a pile of dicks, then there's probably going to be a couple dicks in there.
There's a pile of dicks, there's a couple dicks in there. But here's the thing. I mean, there's dicks in every fan base, and you guys know them, and there's assholes in every fan base. And Landon just wasn't one of them, man. He was one of those dudes that was just like really happy to get an MLS team in his own city. And also, he wasn't happy with the way that it was presumed he was going to get one.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's what's important, is for people to remember, yeah, there's some loud, and this is the thing that I think was really important for us to learn, which I didn't know. MLS 2 ATX and MLS 4 ATX are two different groups. Yeah, MLS 4 ATX was them saying like, hey.
No. I think it's not MLS 2 or 4. It's MLS 2 ATX and then MLS in Austin or Austin in MLS. So it's not.
But nonetheless, MLS 2 ATX, that's the one that sort of, you know,
that's the sponsored one.
A marketing company like that, you know, and that's the collusion. OK, that's the Russian collusion one. That's the bullshit. That's the bots, you know, and then there's the real people who are like, well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
We do want an MLS team here, but we don't necessarily want to steal it from another city. That's what you want.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a positive thing. And I know one dude was wearing a Save the Crew jersey in Austin, and some fans were like, why would you wear the jersey of another city? Maybe it's just a little sensitive, you know, topic right now, but people all over the league and all over the world wore Save the Crew stuff. So like, and held those banners. And that's something that the whole world really, you know, galvanized around this idea. So I wouldn't hold it against them for that, but it's up to you to do that. If you want to do that, I think at the end of the day, what I think is important is we showed, and we wanted to show, that they're real human beings that wanted a team just like a lot of cities. And they're like, yo, we're not cool stealing one from Columbus, but we do want our own team. And it sucks that we're sort of saddled with this situation. You can't make someone the enemy unless they present themselves as such. And there's some that didn't. And Landon was one of them. And understand that, you know, Anthem is going to get hate because it's an Austin-based thing and everyone associates Austin with stealing the crew from Columbus. But just know that if you're a little bit sharper than that, you'll know there's some real people there.
Yeah.
And they're dope. And they're doing things bilingually, which is cool for us. And they really want to make it a part. They want Austin to be, they're trying to take some ideas from like Portland, in the sense that like there could be offshoots from Austin Anthem, but Austin Anthem will be the supporters. So like Timbers Army, like there could be groups within Timbers Army, but everyone's Timbers Army. And to me, that's something beautiful, because the atmosphere they have in Portland is, you know, just bar none. You know what I mean? Like you feel like you're in Europe when you walk on that field. And I mean that in a positive way, not like, you know, why is everything so confusing and why is everything so tight? You know,
all these banana skins everywhere?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh boy.
So that was a cool response. So thank you to anyone who reached out to us. So a couple other things that we want to talk about. But right before that, I do want to mention we do have our Cooligans Gullia shirt. There's a couple left at onthevolleyapparel.com. And if you want to pick one up, go to onthevolleyapparel.com and just look for tees. You'll find them there. And now from now up until the end of the year, normally it's a 20% discount if you use the promo code Cooligans, but it up until the end of the year will be 30%. So if you want to get a gift, or you want to just buy the shirt, maybe there was a, you've been dying to get that Gullia shirt, it never felt like the right time. Now's the right time to do it. So go to onthevolleyapparel.com, use the promo code Cooligans, and you will get 30% off for your entire order, not even just the one shirt. So if you want to pick up other stuff, you can do that as well. So,
and by the way, so the faster we sell those out, the sooner we can start making some other shirts, and we got some really dope ideas for some other shirts. So
yeah,
there's only a couple left. We sold out completely the first run very quickly. So we know a lot of you guys do have them. If you're waiting on it, go get it now. It's 30% off. You can't beat that. Thank you so much to On the Volley Apparel for just, we didn't even ask. They just dropped. they gave us a better discount for our discount code. It's the holidays, so go out and buy some hoodies, dude.
Yeah, dude. All right. So the last couple of things we wanted to talk about. The new playoff format that is reportedly leaked. We don't know if this is real or not, but it looks fairly legit based on who's ever Photoshop skills. Basically, we have six teams in each conference, and this was rumored because the biggest complaint or the biggest issue with the MLS playoff format is that there is an international break in between. So, what that tends to do is just have, we have a basically 10 day break from one playoff game to the MLS, it's not the MLS Cup final, just the playoffs themselves. So it causes a bit of an issue. The momentum is kind of taken away, and now they are suggesting a 14 team playoff. So, 7 teams from each conference will get in, and the first seed will get a bye in each conference. So
only the first seed. So how different is last year, this previous year that just finished, the first two teams in each conference got a bye. Only the top team will.
And they have to, and they skip the knockout game. So what happens here now is not only is it going to be 7 teams, but the big change is that they are planning to move it to a single elimination. So every single game will be a knockout game. And because of that, this will help condense the playoff schedule and fit it within within 4 weeks in between the two international breaks, the one in October and the one in November. So if this happens, this will, I personally think, I'm not a huge fan of the 7 teams, but I am a huge fan of the calendar. Getting all the playoff games condensed into these 4 weeks, it would be amazing. And really, every three to five days, you're watching an MLS playoff game. So the intensity will be high. There'll be a lot of heartbreak, it'll add a lot more excitement. So
I think one of the things that we look at is like NFL, not so much, but NHL and NBA playoffs. There's so many games happening and there's such a fever pitch during that time period that even if like I don't watch hockey at all, I find myself sometimes watching NHL playoff games because you hear about it so much and they're on so much, and you very quickly can just, you start flipping channels or you walk into a bar, you see it. There's NHL playoffs. There's like a game every night, right? And I don't watch hockey, but that's exciting. I think the same thing's going to happen for MLS.
Yeah.
People that don't watch soccer are going to watch the MLS playoffs because it's just going to constantly be on. You're jamming everything into a short period. I think that's going to be a positive for those games.
You got no choice. It's always on TV, all right? It's going to be on every channel. Get used to it.
But you put on the Weather Channel, and they're going to be telling you the weather for the MLS Cup matches, and that's what I'm talking about. The fact that it's single elimination and all, like, home field advantage is going to become extremely important.
Yeah, I know. So we had posted it, and then you also had asked about, will this kind of make it not as important to during the regular season, because maybe once a team is in the playoffs, then maybe they may start resting players or so-and-so, they might not take it as serious because one, more teams are getting in, and so it's effectively easier to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, like if you're in third place and you don't have a shot at first for that bye, and you know you can't lose enough points to slide down past seventh, and if you're in fourth place in the same thing, maybe fifth in the same thing, you're probably going to start to rest players because you're like, you know what, it doesn't matter if I win or lose, which throws off the balance of the games. Then the team playing you might be fighting for a position and they get an easier game than another team. Kind of unfair. But also, you just don't want injuries or whatnot. And I posted that, and David Goss wrote back, yeah, but don't forget how important home field advantage will be in a single playoff, a single game elimination. 100% true. So you're going to fight for your home field advantage positions.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah, I think I'm not too worried about it. Yeah, because it does feel like the home field advantage, especially in single elimination, will become super, super important. So I think that there'll still be a sense of urgency towards the end of the season. I think it's worse now because especially with the two legs, you're going to have a home playoff game outside of you want to get into the at least, third or fourth. But I think that problem is worse now than it. I think it's going to help resolve it a little bit because the sense of urgency to get a home playoff seed will be insane. I mean, it just like, because you only have that one game. So yeah, I think it's a, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a good move for MLS and its popularity. So,
I think it's a positive. I think it's going to add a lot more eyes, to the MLS Cup, playoffs. I think it's going to be something that gets to the top of a lot of ratings charts, which is good. And also just the fact that everything doesn't, now we don't have this, you know, 2 week gaps, 2 weeks of gaps in between the playoffs and the MLS Cup, final, and all of that is gone now. You jam everything in. It's exciting. I don't know. Does this mean the MLS Cup finals around Thanksgiving then?
Let's see. No, the MLS Cup final would be, I think the November 10th would be, that's the last day. That's a presume. So it's like basically 2 weeks before, about 10 days before Thanksgiving. So yeah, I mean, this will be great because that play, the playoffs take too long. They go basically into actually no. So what would happen is they have to move the schedule up, right? So more teams are going to be playing midweek games to condense the schedule. They have to condense the schedule to fit everything in here because October still has regular season games normally in the current schedule. So all right. So okay. So let's what's the last thing we want to talk about? Oh, you want to talk about very quickly the Champions League results, the standings, and who made it into the round of 16. We you know, we don't really talk. I mean, really, the only Champions League is the one, the CONCACAF Champions League. This other one is you know, not the most exciting. But
if we have to talk about the Champions League, then I guess we'll talk about the UEFA Champions League. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the let me pull up the standings. Did this year overall, watching some of these games, I think the biggest complaint that I've seen is the Bleacher Report model of basically having a subscription to watch Champions League games. This has personally made me watch less Champions League games. I mean, not I'm sure it's a perfectly fine service and the whole thing, but you know, I have TV. I'm trying to watch a couple games, and the thing I hate the most is like the premier game. Like if Barcelona's playing, that's probably the game I would want to watch. And it's, if it's happening at the same time as others, but occasionally they don't show that game. They'll show some, like, you know, Club Bruges against somebody, and it's just like,
yeah, Red Star Belgrade versus Napoli. And you're like, okay, cool, but PSG's playing Liverpool.
Yeah, I kind of would want to watch that one. But overall, it has been entertaining. I think the a couple of the groups were, you know, a little unexpected. Like, obviously, we didn't know if Liverpool was gonna make it through. A couple other teams, we didn't know if PSG was good enough to make it through, but there were, I'm trying to pull up the list. Oh, 'cause the draw is coming up this Monday. So we don't know.
Yeah. So it's the top two from each group make it through. So Group A, Dortmund and Atletico Madrid, go through, Barcelona and Tottenham go through for Group B. PSG and Liverpool go through. So Napoli lost that game very famously in the last second.
Yeah.
They're gone. I would have thought Napoli and Liverpool would have gone through and not PSG because they're kind of been playing a little upside down. And they're too easy. I think they're already like 40 goals ahead in differential in Ligue 1. Like, it's just, why even watch Ligue 1? You know what I mean? It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, if you're Olympic Marseille, why are you even there? You know?
So the
Group D, it's Porto and Schalke. Group E, it's Bayern and Ajax, so Benfica is out. Group F, Man City and Lyon. Group G is Real Madrid and Roma. And Group H, Juventus and Man United. So all the English teams went through.
Oh, exciting, right? They're doing better in Champions League than they are in their own league. Who do you think wins it? Real quick.
I think it's going to be difficult, but I can't imagine that Real Madrid does really well. They're still trying to figure their stuff out. I think it's going to be either Juventus or PSG.
Well, okay, there's no way PSG is winning. They're terrible. It's so weird watching them in Ligue 1 and then watching them in Champions League. They're like, oh, we didn't train for this. This is not. They're not. When they play against Champions League competition,
why are you guys running so fast?
Whoa, slow down. Now this is not.
Come on. Wait, you're not a farmer in rural France.
So ridiculous. I don't think they're good. I think an English team might win this time. I think Manchester City might take it. It's not going to be the regular, the Barcelonas, the Real Madrid. I don't think they're winning again. So I think it might be an English team this time, or it might be Dortmund. I don't know. Dortmund's been looking pretty good in the Champions League. Let's wrap up because we've been going on for a while. But we do have an interview today that we want to play because we've been have this stack of FC Dallas interviews that we want to keep putting out, but. It's a shame because people keep getting traded or sold or something. They keep moving on to another team. But we do have our interview with Tesho Akindele, and that's where we'll. Do you want to end the show right here, Alexis, and then play the interview, or you want to do an outro after? We'll do an outro after. So
yeah, we'll do an outro. Yeah, okay, we'll come back. We'll circle back around with you guys.
Okay.
But right now. This is before he got traded.
Before he got traded. So keep that in mind.
And before the playoffs started, when they were doing really well, we were in Atlanta and we got the opportunity to talk to Tesho. Atlanta?
Jesus Atlanta. Christ.
We were in Dallas and we got a chance to talk to Tesho Akindele. This is right before the Hall of Fame it was the ceremony opening it. I was about to say they inducted the Hall of Fame into the Hall of Fame. So
I mean,
it was
what?
A very good Hall of Fame.
okay.
So yeah, right before that big ceremony, we got a chance to sit down and talk to Tesho Akindele. He did not know who we were. He did not believe we were comedians. And then at the end, he's like, man, you guys really are funny.
Yeah.
I like you guys.
It was pretty cool.
You're going to hear him be a little tentative up front and then really warm up to us.
So here it is. Here's our interview with Tesho Akindele, formerly of FC Dallas.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, we
come
are.
On. We're in Dallas.
We are in Dallas. This is insane.
We're both wearing cowboy hats.
Yes,
I'm the sheriff, which is pretty cool. They made me sheriff.
Yeah, we have spurs on our sneakers.
Yeah,
we're having a good time.
Just Tottenham. It's Tottenham sneakers. This is what we do with soccer everything.
No, so we are in. We're currently in a conference room.
That's right.
We've just sort of just waiting around and to see what FC Dallas players are going to come hang out with us.
That's all we're doing. So they're promising FC Dallas players.
Who has the courage to confront these two comedians?
Who's got the balls come talk to two comedians? And somebody walked in.
Yeah.
Very big dude. Yeah, this guy's got the balls. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, you know him from FC Dallas, the first place in the Western Conference.
Yes, sir.
FC Dallas.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The first team in the Western Conference to clinch the playoffs. Ladies and gentlemen, Tesho Akindele, everybody.
Tesho, what's up, man?
Man, I'm glad to be here. I heard two comedians. I heard podcasts. I love both those things. So I was like, yeah, I'm in, man.
Before
I got the balls for this.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Yeah.
There you go.
Before we started recording, you did say that you are you're a fan of comedy.
Yeah, big time.
And you're about to go to a comedy show this weekend.
Yeah, I'm trying to go to the Neil Brennan show. He has a show in Dallas Saturday, so I'm going to go to that show and check him out.
Okay.
That's dope. Well, Neil, if you listen in and bring him a VIP, he's a cool dude.
For real. I would love that. Me and my wife are going to be there, so.
Cool.
I'm curious, are there any particular comedians that you're a huge fan of that you make sure you always watch their stuff?
I mean, for me, Dave Chappelle, best of all time, of course. That's a standard answer, but like for what it's worth is the best stand-up I've ever heard in my life. Like,
I agree with you.
I've listened to that stand-up like 20 times over. It's so amazing. But I had heard about Neil actually through a podcast, and then I saw his special on Netflix too, and man, he's hilarious too. He's really good, so I'm looking forward to his live show.
This is a real fan. I mean, you're not that big a fan because you didn't hear of us yet. Yeah. Whatever, it's all good. Next time we come down to Dallas, we'll do a show. We did a World Cup comedy tour.
Yeah.
So we did like a big tour. It was 9 cities. We didn't get down to Dallas, but the closest we got, I guess, would be Omaha or Kansas City.
Kansas City, I think, is a little closer.
I have no clue what happens.
Who knows where
we are.
I
know where Texas is.
Yeah.
That I know.
Texas is so big, man.
It's so big you can't miss it.
Yeah.
So, Tesho, thank you so much for stepping in. You are the first person that we're speaking to. We don't know you. We obviously
obviously we watch FC Dallas games. What has been your experience here? What like I mean, we're walking around this. Specifically, we're here to hang out and see the Soccer Hall of Fame. The National. What has been your experience here? Even that being built, I know that section was closed off for a long time. How did that like affect you as a player, and how did it affect the team?
There's been a lot of change just in this area in general. Like when I got drafted here, they're showing me pictures of a couple years before, and there was nothing around here. But
look like Vegas, right? There was like a couple buildings,
and then desert. Like yeah. It was just farmland for real. And now you look around, and they got shops, they got apartments, they got everything around here. So the city's growing. Now they put this Hall of Fame in, and for the year and a half, we had that part of the stadium just completely empty, no fans. Which it's always weird, especially because if you score a goal right there, you want to the fans. And start celebrating with them, and
you put the hand over the eyebrows. Is there one up there getting concessions?
There was one, though. There was a construction worker that sat there every game, and he got kind of famous. I think they made like a Twitter page for him and everything. He was just sitting there all the time. So, you know, we'd celebrate with him every once in a while, but it's a lot better to have
celebrate with Ralph.
Yeah. Steve's here.
All right, Steve. He's a big fan, though, man. He didn't miss a game.
He should go in the National Soccer Hall of Fame.
Honestly, he should. At least the FC Dallas. Dallas Hall of Fame, like he goes down in history.
Now you're from Canada, right?
Yeah, I was born in Canada and moved to Colorado when I was 7. So I lived most of my life in Colorado.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I was born in Canada.
If any idea if you've ever thought, I mean, what nation you would pick if you were asked to play for a national team?
I play for Canada.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. So I was just like my whole life. I was always a Canadian citizen. I became an American citizen after my first season here.
Okay.
So like I always grew up wanting to play for Canada. Like wanting to be. That was my dream. You know, I never knew I would become an American citizen.
Right.
So the opportunity presented itself to play for Canada. I had to jump at it. And you know, we got a good team right now. A lot of good.
Yeah.
Young
how does it
players.
Feel being Canadian? I mean, you know, for someone who's a fan of the American team, the Canada team was always had like a few good players, but as a national team, kind of an afterthought. Mm-hmm. You know, it was someone that you felt as an American, we could beat them easily. Mm-hmm. But now you got a kid going to Bayern Munich. Yeah. I mean, things seem to have changed. Soccer is kind of become like kind of a cool, like almost like a street thing too, like in Toronto and stuff. There's so much talent coming out of Canada.
Brampton
has so many players, men's and women's national team. Like you wouldn't believe, there's probably like 10 or 11 players on that are like regularly called into the men's national team from Brampton, Ontario.
What's happening in Brampton where like if somebody
they're putting out athletes.
It's like somebody's playing basketball. I'm like, yo, what are you playing basketball
for?
Tristan Thompson's from Brampton too.
So it's just athletes coming from there. And I think what it is like you're saying, it's a street thing. There's a lot of immigrants in big cities in Canada, of course, just like there is everywhere.
Right.
And you see a lot of the players on the Canadian team are like the families of immigrants. Even myself, like my dad is from Nigeria, so like I probably started playing soccer because of his influence on me. And a lot of these guys, exactly. A lot of these guys have family from like Jamaica or from Europe or wherever.
Yeah, Jonathan Osorio, Colombia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, there's a lot of like second generation kids that are Canadians, like through and through Canadians, but their families are bringing the love for soccer from other places.
But you know what's great is that regardless of where the family's from or where the culture's coming from, they're still nice Canadians. Canadians
apologetic,
always come out nice.
It's just better to be nice. Canadians figured that out, man. Yeah. It's just better to be nice.
Well, you see the opposite when you look over the border and you see
you see how it could go sometimes. You're like, no, I'd rather be nice, you know? Nice.
You see two people arguing, you're like, have you thought about not arguing? Yeah. They're like, get out of here, Canada.
Have you thought about apologizing? Yeah.
What? You considered it.
Yeah. Not until maple syrup comes out of my skin will I do that.
So there's a couple things. So there's one thing that we're a huge fan of regarding FC Dallas in particular is the fashion sense coming out of the locker room here. Mm-hmm. Is there... Yeah.
There's like a red carpet going into this.
Yeah, I don't know, because look, we follow on social media, right? And mm-hmm. it's always... When it comes to just absolutely...
And we're in it for the fit. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're not in it for the sound.
I don't know what other team... collectively as a squad dresses better than FC Dallas.
I'm going to bring that back to the locker room. People are going to like to hear
here's
that.
Here's what I'll
honestly.
Say. I'm sure there's other players or teams that have a high fashion sense, but nobody flexes walking in and out of training the way FC Dallas
I think
does.
There's like a little bit of flamboyance about the way that some people dress that other 100%. People might be scared. Like someone like Roland Lamar, if you haven't seen his game day outfits, I'm sure. Like he is on point, man.
It's so fashionable
point.
That I know none of it is made in my size. You know what I mean?
For real.
I know that for a fact.
Yo, it's like, those are like one of a kind pieces he's wearing. Yeah. You're like, where did you buy that, man? Like, he's like, oh, Europe, oh, this and that. So he's going out of his way for these game day outfits.
He's on the deep web.
Yeah, he's like, yo, he's buying it with Bitcoins.
He's like, Silk Road, I don't want to buy heroin. Yeah. I'm trying to buy that one shirt, that one designer in Japan.
Hilarious.
It's so funny to me because traditionally, soccer players in Europe and America have sort of their own fashion sense. And sometimes it's like really gaudy or like bedazzled, or it's just like, yeah, we get like, Balotelli is the one that pops in my mind. It's like, we know you have money. You don't have to bedazzle everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like stop it with the jewels. But FC Dallas is like, no, these are just like dope looking dudes. It's like the dudes who get into the club first. Like you don't even need to have women with you.
Yeah. You just show up and they're like, yeah, this guy's bringing the party.
Yeah, you go to
like,
be happy, you look good. Yeah.
What is that locker room mentality? Is it a little bit competitive with how you dress? Because the only reason I ask is because the like seeing Oscar Pereja, right, and seeing how he coaches and the structure that seems to be in FC Dallas from the youth academy to the first team, there seems to be a bit of an order, and it seems like the only way to express yourself seems to be in how you dress, because it seems like everything else, I don't know how serious it is or how like authoritarian it is, but it seems like the way you dress is like, oh, this is how we can express ourselves.
Yeah, is it how you get in the first 11? They're like, look, I know you're doing really good in training, but that shirt? Come on now.
Yeah, we don't make up the game day lineup until we see how you show up to the stadium. And then like so you're in, you're out, I'm sorry.
You tell a rookie, you've been trying hard, but you need to try harder with that shirt, dog. Yeah.
No, I think probably a little bit of that, but I think, man, it's like bonding. Like people come in, and if your outfit is terrible, like you're going to hear it from everybody immediately. So you got to at least have like a standard that you have to meet. Whether you go to the top, like me personally, I'm not going to compete with Roland Lamont. Like he's coming on another level, but there's like him, Reto, guys like that, Maxi, even Grayso, like they're coming every game. Just like they're probably competing with each other, you know, a little bit. I'm just trying to make sure I don't get roasted when I get in the locker.
Is it a roast zone? Is it a cooking
zone?
Yo, it's roast zone.
Yeah. Like even Lamont's getting roasted. Like so everybody's getting roasted. You got to make sure you don't slip up for a second. So
really,
it's good, but it's like lighthearted fun, you know, like that's how you bond with people. Just everybody takes it lightheartedly. We roast everybody, and I mean, it's just good.
It sounds like a comedy club, like Green Room. I mean, we bust each other's balls.
Not for clothes though, because comedians. Yeah, we're not trying. We're not trying to look too fancy on stage anyway.
But if somebody in comedy is different, like if somebody tries too hard,
you get chopped down.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Like, I mean, to say somebody like Matt Hedges, he's not going to come in here with the tight leather jeans and the red shoes because he's going to get that. Yo, you're trying too hard, man. Come on, that's not you.
That ain't you at all.
But Rolly's going to come in with that, and everybody's going to be like, wow, that looks ridiculous. Like, that's sick. So yeah, you got to know your zone. You got to stay in your lane. And if you're one of the guys that can compete, you got to show up every week.
All right, that's cool. Like, I can imagine like FC Dallas players just standing at home. Like most soccer players, like, man, I got to start working more on my left foot, this and that. You guys are just like looking through catalogs. Yeah. Like, I gotta start
accessorizing, man.
It's the playoffs, dog. Yeah. Maybe I should have like one of those fanny packs across my shoulder. Something.
Is anybody thinking of starting like a fashion line? That seems to, a lot of athletes tend to do that. I mean, BWP just did a hat line.
99.
Yeah, Nine-Nine. Aurelian Collin has a clothing line and stuff like that. Is that amongst the discussion as well?
I haven't heard anybody talking about that. But
okay.
Man, it would be a good idea though for some of these guys for sure.
Yeah. You guys should do it as a group, you know, just like a little one-off.
We could. I mean, people are into fashion, man. There's a lot of guys have just a huge shoe collection too. Even a lot of the younger players that you guys might not know, like a lot of the academy guys, they're like in the lineups for like the new release. There's like some Dragon Ball Z shoes got released, and these guys were opening like five different accounts to try to get like in the online queue. So from the top to the bottom, man, it's just the way our team is.
So you could find stats of FC Dallas players on StockX.
For real.
That's really cool. I think part of it also, we notice it from the outside looking in, is that you guys seem like a group that kind of gets along for the most part, especially the way you guys play. Is that something that's talked about heavily in the locker room? Is that something that is part of sort of the game plan for FC Dallas, for you guys to sort of bond and be a unit? Or is it way more competitive and everyone's trying to sort of beat each other out?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think like obviously you have to be friends if you want to be successful, but you also have to have a competitive mentality if you want to be successful. So you got to balance those two. And if you look at our locker room, it's like very multicultural. Like there's a lot of guys who speak primarily Spanish and maybe don't know English as well. A lot of guys obviously that speak only English. And so joking around and kind of bonding that way, like roasting each other, like you can find similarities with people that you may not be able to have a long conversation with. You can just joke about the way that they look today or little jokes like that. And I feel like that has really brought us together. That kind of like everybody joking with everybody mentality has brought us really close together.
That's great.
Moxie be like, that's trash. And they're like, who taught him that?
Yeah, exactly.
I shouldn't be getting roasted by people who don't know English.
That's like Pablo Arangues just came to the team and he's always saying, what's up, bro? Like, that's all he says in English. What's up, bro? What's up, bro? And it's like hilarious every single time, you know? And so it just like, it brings us together, just little stuff like that.
That's dope.
That's awesome. How have you felt about this season, especially looking forward now to the playoffs? I know there's a very important game coming up this Sunday. It's interesting because we don't get to, I don't know, when it comes to knowing the landscape of MLS and who, like, I feel like, I don't mean this as an insult to FC Dallas fans, but they're not, I don't hear them the most. Yeah. It's like on the internet and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, they're not wild with the Twitter.
Yeah.
So, Twitter fingers aren't crazy.
So it's like about knowing about the culture. I feel like I'm basically getting to learn about the culture of FC Dallas as well. Mm-hmm. So what is the mentality at the beginning of the season? I know the standards are obviously very high. The hope is to win in an MLS Cup. You guys, the U.S. Open Cup and Supporter Shield a couple years ago. What is the mentality now going forward when maybe finishing first in the Western Conference and the hopes for yourself at for the end of the season?
I think it's all about MLS Cup. Like other years, it might have been also about Supporter Shield, also about Open Cup. But now that we have won those and a lot of the same people are still here that were there, everybody's just like, man, we need the MLS Cup. Like that's kind of like the notch that we're missing in our belt. Yeah. And that's been like the singular focus, even though we've been involved obviously in other competitions. I think from day one, like we were singularly focused on MLS Cup. So yeah, we feel like we need one of the top two spots in the Western Conference so that we're in a good spot to just push towards that MLS Cup. And that's our focus from day one.
I'm just always impressed that FC Dallas, it seems like you guys lose big players. They get sold, they get traded or whatever. Mm-hmm. And everything's fine.
Yeah.
It's just the next guy steps up and is totally fine. Even though when you think like...
Yeah, it's really frustrating for fans. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's a bit much, guys.
What? FC Dallas' academy has always been just sort of world-renowned for being, just putting out incredible talent. Where do you think that comes from? What can you specifically say about the system that FC Dallas has that makes... that puts out better players?
I think, well, it starts with the coach, I would say, with Oscar. And one thing that he's been saying since he's been here is like, nobody is bigger than the team. He's like, if you come in and you think you're bigger than the team and you try to disrespect me, disrespect my system, he's like, I'm going to get you out. If I can't get you out, then I have to go. Because it's like, that is the system. The system is bigger than any one of us. Like, we've lost amazing players like Mauro Diaz, like you said, who's an amazing player. Fabian Castillo, amazing player. Kellen Acosta, they're all amazing players, and we've lost them. And there has been the next man up because we all believe in the system. Like, we and the system believes in us. Oscar is like, I'll put you in here because I believe in you, and you'll do fine. We don't need to change the whole game plan because we're putting you in or whatever. He's like, you're going to go in, and you're going to do the same job that this other guy was doing, and you're going to do fine. And the fact that the coach is telling you that, the assistant coaches, your teammates are all telling you, yeah, you're going to go in and you're going to do fine. You can do this. It gives you the confidence to do it.
That's a great feeling. I mean, FC Dallas is known for, I think it's this season, the last like 2 years, giving for the youngest players, the young players get the most minutes than any other team.
Some of the academy players train with you guys.
Almost every single day, academy players are training with us, which is different.
Must be fun just taking a kid out, you know?
Yeah, it's fun, but then you got to watch out because sometimes they'll take you out or they'll juke you, and you have to be ready because these kids, like,
you
got to foul. Yeah, I'm gonna foul somebody if I'm getting juked too bad. I'm going for the foul right away.
15, my guy.
Right away,
it will happen.
But like 15, 16 year olds, they're playing in the league already. So like some of these kids, they'll be playing in the academy one day, but then the next day they're signed with the team and they're a part of the first team. So the kids are good. Like, and so it's probably like 5 or 6, I would say, every day training with us. 5 or 6 academy kids are training with us every day.
Just trying to keep up with the pro speed, which is a very different level than where they're
at. And so like even whether whether they sign a homegrown contract or they just go on to college or whatever, I think is preparing them, and it's showing the kids younger than them, if you're performing, you're going to be training with the first team. Like, right. You're going to be involved. We're going to be watching you. So kind of everybody knows that they have to be, the academy, I'm saying, has to be on point every day because they're being watched.
And it helps you guys too, because they're trying wild stuff out there. They're trying to get seen. They're trying to get recognized. Yeah. And you're like, all right, I need to make sure this kid doesn't shine too hard.
Yeah.
That's going to make me look bad.
Yeah. And they always bring the energy. That's one thing. Like, whether or not they're as technically sound as some of the older players, they will bring the energy, which is something that it can be a little bit easy to lose energy sometimes if you're going through a long season.
Right.
Maybe you've had a bad stretch or whatever. The team might drop the energy level. But if you have these academy kids in here flying around the field, it does bring everybody else's energy levels up.
That's really cool. Speaking of putting players in, you were a part of a big social media fun and kind of controversy when I believe it was Tesho who wasn't in the 18 but got put in.
Yeah,
it was all this going.
No, I was in the 18. Was you saw the Orlando game last year?
I think RSL ended up putting out the meme where it was like,
yes,
a printer.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
All that, and your face was in it. You were in that. Yeah.
Well, so I was supposed to be on the bench,
right?
And Michael Barrios was supposed to start, but he had a little bit of a foot injury.
Okay.
So they pulled him out of the starting lineup. They put me in last second. But the refs told them that we were supposed to be able to play, I guess. I'm not sure exactly what happened. So people were mad because Michael Barrios ended up subbing back into the game later. But, you know, it's not like nobody on our side did anything bad. I would 100% understand from RSL and other people we're competing with. I can understand their anger and frustration, but, you know, no bad intentions from us.
You weren't trying to do
anything. Nobody was trying to cheat or whatever, and I think they know, but I would be just as frustrated as they were. So.
But then they put out a meme of their starting 18, and as a joke, they put, like, so like the sweater of that guy Trey that works there from the, you know.
Yeah, Trey. I heard those videos.
They put you in it. You were on there.
I didn't see that, honestly.
It
I didn't
was
see
hilarious.
That.
They put like the mascot in there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they put everyone in their 18 because they were like, well, if these lists don't matter, that was their take on
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You ended up on the RSL team.
Yeah.
That must have, you didn't see that, but I was going to say, that must have been fun to watch as these things sort of take off. Seems like this year has become a bit more trolling.
I feel like the league in itself is like the teams are making, like teasing each other. They're trolling each other a little bit.
I think
more.
That's good. Like, if you look at the NBA, that's going on all the time. And you see it a lot with the NBA players, even. Like, they have a lot of personality on social media. So I think it kind of fans like that. Like, fans like to be able
we
to.
Love it.
Yeah, fans like to be able to get into the back and forth because it's not too serious. You know, everybody knows it's lighthearted. So it's a good thing. Like, I didn't see that, but to me, it's funny. Like, that's funny that they would do something
that's
like
really
that.
That's really cool. That's, you know, I would love to be a part of a meme like that.
Yeah. That somebody, let somebody meme him, please.
Yeah,
like,
please.
Meme me.
Actually, now that I said that, our fans are just going to go wild. They've meme me quite a bit, actually. I should stop talking about that.
Well, Tesho, dude, thank you so much for taking some time, man.
Yeah.
We appreciate it a lot. Good luck on Sunday. And we're going to be here for the game. It's going to be great.
What's your take? You think you're winning MLS Cup?
I mean, of course, I have to say that. Like, if I didn't think we were winning MLS Cup, I shouldn't be here. You know, like, I 100% think we're going to win MLS Cup.
Very cool.
All right. Tesho, where can people, like, follow you? And
Tesho13 on, you know, Instagram and Twitter, whatever.
All right.
Yeah, follow me.
All right. Show some support. Tesho Akindele, thank you so much.
And if you're a young designer, send him
send our team some gear on the dark web with some Bitcoins, so you know.
He's trying to outshine Max.
I've been waiting for the playoffs. Yeah, I'll just step my game up. Right then, and come with like my own red carpet or whatever.
That's when everybody shows up at the place. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak to us.
For sure, thanks,
Tesho, guys. Take care, man.
Hey, that was amazing.
Wasn't that great? Tesho Akindele, we wish him all the best out in Orlando at his new squad. Hopefully he can revitalize that team because they've had a couple rough seasons as of late. But great dude, man. Super supportive, funny, and it was just great. I think he was the first person we interviewed, right? If I'm not mistaken.
He was. In that whole run of interviews we did, he was the first one.
So he was
great player, great dude. I mean, you know, you should be happy he's on your team.
Yep. So that's it, everybody. Thank you again for listening to the show. Thank you for supporting us. And remember, if you want to join the Gully Squad, feel free to do that. Go to soccercooligans.com and you can help keep making these shows happen. And you can, join the Facebook group. You can be...
come to a live recording of the podcast. If you're ever in New York, you can play us in FIFA, and you can ask us questions. And that's kind of the main thing. We haven't gotten too many questions from people, but please feel free to do that. If we can dedicate some time to just answering your questions, whether it's like a serious soccer question or a comedy question or just a something funny or whatever, it doesn't have to be. But please don't hesitate to do that, because that's, we want to communicate with you guys and share some laughs and share some jokes. And maybe we can, put out some, soccer knowledge that we have very little of. So, so always thank you again for being supportive. So thank you so much for listening. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero.
And together, who are we?
The Cooligans! Cool